Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin D, Discernment, Father Derek Leppe.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hey, welcome once again to Catholic Vitamins. We're glad you're with us. Hi, Dee.
Hi, Tom.
I love it when you do that. Today's show, Dee, what's it?
Vitamin D, discernment.
Yeah, we'll come to that in just a second. What's one thing that doesn't happen very much in Arizona, Dee?
A storm like we had this past weekend. Oh, my gosh.
Big, big storm. Lots of rain, lots of hail, some heavy-duty lightning, some very, very loud cracks of thunder very near us. A dog under the bed that was Holly, the Schnauzer.
I even took a picture out the front window because our yard, with all the hail, it looked like it had snowed. And I was going to put that picture up on Facebook, but I couldn't. I was having trouble with loading the photo, so it never got up there.
Yeah, I put something on Facebook about the storm and the dog under the bed. And someone, a friend, did a Facebook reply that said that they had a dog that used to jump into the bathtub. No water, just jump into the bathtub whenever there was one of those thunderstorms. Animals are funny. Well, today's topic, Dee, is discernment, as we said. I remember, this will be a first discernment little experience, I remember a time when you took a new job and you came home and told me about something that was going on in your brand new office. Do you want to share about that?
Oh, I remember that very well. I started working for an insurance company, and the first day on the job, I could sense there was some discontentment among some of the employees. And over the next few days, beginning days, I determined that it sort of was centered around the lady who was the secretary to the big boss. And I had no idea what had transpired in the past. Obviously, it wasn't anything that had anything to do with me since I was brand new. So I just made up my mind that I could not work that way with people with these kind of attitudes. I just couldn't do that. So I made up my mind that I was going to win this lady over, if you will. And so I just started being very nice to her. It wasn't long before she changed her attitude. She'd come around, she'd come in the morning, she'd greet me nicely with a smile, whereas she wouldn't greet some of the other ones that way. But I just, with my friendliness toward her, it turned her attitude around, at least toward me.
Yeah. So discernment of disharmony and a call to harmony and outreach. Dee, perhaps you don't like me saying this sort of thing about you, but I can honestly say that I've never found anyone that didn't like you or love you. And I wonder, dear, if we couldn't see you as a person who could discern peacemaking as one of your gifts from God.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. No, I'm not comfortable with you saying that.
Well, it's true. It's true. Everybody loves Dee. We should do a TV program like that.
Everybody loves Raymond. Everybody loves Dee.
Dee, when after 4 years of study, it was time for our ordination retreat. We were, all of us men, were alone on a silent retreat for a week. And I remember going through some of the final discomforts or uncertainties about being a deacon. And one day I was out walking, I was in prayer. And I don't know where it came from. I just remembered that all of a sudden I was praying, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I put my trust in you. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I put my trust in you. And I thought to myself, where did this come from? There's the answer. So I decided to move forward with a happy heart. But this was helped on the morning of ordination day. Do you remember the invite we had to breakfast?
Oh, I do, with Archbishop Chaput. And we all met in a room down in the basement of the cathedral. And he came around and greeted each and every one of us couples or candidates individually with words of encouragement. And it was so loving.
It was. He's a great, great shepherd. But what I remember that morning was he said, do you feel like you're unworthy? Well, you are, and I'm unworthy. This is the bishop, Archbishop Chaput speaking. He said, basically get over it. The church has looked at you. They believe you'll make a great deacon. So let's, in about an hour and a half or two, let's ordain you and put you to work. So that was a great help in discernment for moving forward.
I think about all the different kinds of discernment there are in the world. I mean, families or couples discerning whether they should get married. Right now, we've got our friend Lisa Hendy with Catholic Moments podcast out there in California. She and her family discerning colleges for their college-bound son. I mean, this sort of thing is happening everywhere.
So each and every day, big events, little events, sometimes holy actions, support for your parish actions. You know, we're all called to discernment. I think the first step is always prayer. That's the topic for today's show. And our interview will be with a great guest, Father Derek Lappe. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is Father Derek Lappe, a priest in Bremerton, Washington. He's told me that he's at Our Lady Star of the Sea, and I was referred to Father by a good close friend, and I asked Father if we could talk today about vitamin D, which is for this show about discernment. Father, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you. Nice to be with you today. I'm happy to have some time with you.
Thank you, Father. Well, you know, before we get into the topic of discernment and a couple different approaches to it, let me ask a few words of, why don't you introduce people to yourself and tell us a little bit about your background and family of origin?
Okay. I'm Father Derek Lappe. I'm the pastor here at Our Lady Star of the Sea Catholic Church, and have been a priest for about 9 years, and I've been a pastor for 7 of those years. And I grew up here in the Archdiocese of Seattle in a town called Longview, Washington, and 2 brothers and 2 sisters, and both brothers are in the Marine Corps, and both sisters happen to live in Denver, and now I have all sorts of nieces and nephews and things. Grew up as a Catholic, and always practiced the faith to some degree, although there was a little time when we kind of fell away from the church as a family for a while. But we had always gone to church and been involved in the parish and things. But there was a time when we did kind of stop practicing the faith for a while. And luckily for me, there was a very good priest who came to our parish and helped get me back on track and my family back on track as well. So I was very blessed to have that growing up.
Okay, got the picture there. So as you were entering young adulthood, would you say your faith was a little bit important or marginal? Or?
Well, when I was in middle school and high school, the first year of high school, the faith was very unimportant to me, and I lived a very modern, amoral sort of life, very much away from the church. Even if I was going on Sunday mornings, I wasn't faithful in the way I lived my life at all. Just the faith was not important at all. Even though I'd been to Catholic elementary school and still even went to youth group a lot of the time, we just were not living the faith in any serious way. Myself or any of my other Catholic friends, we just weren't living the faith at all. And it was in my kind of early sophomore year of high school that I started to turn that around and to, God started to turn it around, really, and kind of wake me up to the meaning of life and what life was supposed to be about and what the church was supposed to be about and how he wanted me to live. And that's where my real conversion kind of started, was when I was a sophomore in high school.
Okay, that might be interesting in itself, but why don't we complete the picture of you? Tell us a little bit about your education and your process towards where you are now.
Well, after I felt called to be a priest when I was a sophomore in high school, and so after high school, the diocese wanted me to go to a public school for a year, so I went to the local community college and worked, and then after that I went to Mount Angel Seminary for 3 years, and then studied philosophy there, and then after that I was 4 years at the North American College in Rome, where I studied theology at the Gregorian University.
I remember well, in 2004, my wife and I and another deacon couple went to Rome and got to see many of the beautiful places there. I don't want to get too far off the path, but mm-hmm. we met some seminarians from where you were. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. And it's a great place for an education in every sort of way, both in the university and the studies, but just being in Rome and being around so many beautiful things and being in the place where saints walked around and, you know, all of these places where the relics of the saints are. It's a very, very inspiring place and a very great place to be formed to be a priest.
Now, before we move into the topic of discernment itself, Father, there was sort of like a little bit of a gap. You were living, I think you used the word, an amoral life. You were not that involved in the faith. And then sophomore year of high school, things began to change for you, and you mentioned a priest. Can you talk just a little bit about that gap there and how this got started?
Well, what happened was we were kind of getting ready for confirmation, and I would say in some ways we weren't bad kids. We just liked to get in trouble and do everything wrong that we could get away with. And when we were getting ready for confirmation, the main, you know, it kind of started with learning a little bit about the faith and this priest doing some actual catechesis, which frankly we'd never received in Catholic school or our youth group. We never had learned the faith at all. And we kind of had the classic 1980s catechesis. We watched Gandhi for our, you know, classes and things. So it was not very good catechesis. And then the priest started teaching the faith, and a real turning point was the moment that I discovered that Jesus was really present in the Eucharist and that that's what the church believed. And that started to turn things around for me and to take the Catholic Church a lot more seriously rather than just a place where we kind of met our friends on Sunday morning and had to sit through church. And then the real moment of conversion was in the sacrament of confession, when I confessed this long, 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 long list of sins to the priest. And he asked me at the end, he said, "Have you ever thought about being a priest?"
Oh, wow.
Which was kind of a funny question, because there was nothing edifying about my confession. There was nothing that would suggest that this person should be a priest. And yet, that's what he asked. And when he asked me that question, there was just a sense, a real clear sense, that that's what I was supposed to do with my life, that that's what I was created for, that that was what my whole purpose was in life, was to be a priest. And so I knew at that moment that I was going to be a priest, whether I could almost say whether I liked it or not, whether I wanted to or not, whether I felt worthy of it or not. I just knew that that's what I was supposed to do. And there was a great sense of peace about that.
Well, in fact, the family that referred me to you, Father, has a son who is quite interested. He's in high school. He's quite interested in the priesthood. But this area, this beautiful description you've just made, leads us into this topic of discernment. Someone may feel that it would be nice to be a priest, or that it would be a good thing to be a priest. But there's an evaluation board or a panel or formators, whatever you would say, that are looking at candidates for religious life. And then there's the person themselves, a man studying for the priesthood or who wants to, a deacon candidate, a nun, aspiring nun. Can you begin to lead us into your view of discernment, the discernment process?
Well, there's definitely, the discernment is twofold. There's the discernment of the individual who is trying to figure out if God is calling them to be a priest, and there's a discernment of the church who's trying to figure out whether or not God is calling them to be a priest. And ultimately, the bishop, with the guidance of his formators and vocation directors, is the one who helps to understand whether or not this call is authentic. And you start with the idea, first of all, that this is a vocation, that it's a calling from God, and that's the most important thing. So that a person could want to be a priest and be called, and not be called to be a priest. A person could, again, not want to be a priest and still be called to be a priest. Like, that's what God has called them to do, and they have to come to some sense of peace about, you know, the most important thing we can do in life is to do what God wants us to do. And so they can find a lot of peace around the fact that, you know, they're living out the life God wanted. And so for me, it was very much that way. It was to say, this is what God wants for me, and then asking whether or not I could say yes or not.
Now, as you described that that path, which even took you to Rome, were there any periods, dark nights or whatever, where you wondered if this is what you really should be doing?
Yes, there were certainly periods of great struggle and pain and sorrow and all of those things. But at the center was still a sense of peace and understanding that this is what God was calling me to do, and that basically everything would be fine so long as I just kept trying to say yes. Things would be just fine. But yeah, there's definitely there's a real requirement that a person, their heart be transformed and made into a, you know, in my case, a priestly heart, and that can take a lot of work and a lot of suffering, and a lot of sorrow and pain and healing, and, you know, all those things that go into, you know, being made in the image and likeness of Christ, basically.
Sure.
So for me, it probably involved, you know, sort of reconciling the bad habits of an amoral life for a while, and trying to get past those to where I could become the priest that Christ was calling me to be.
Our guest today. I'm sorry, Father.
So, yeah, I mean, just the feeling that, you know, this is hard or this is difficult or this is painful isn't necessarily a sign that this isn't what God wants for you. Because still at the center, even though there's that pain and struggle, at the center remains a sense of peace, like, okay, this is what God is asking.
Yeah, I think I'd like to come back to that very point. I just want to say our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is Father Derek Lappe, a priest of Bremerton, Washington, a pastor of Our Lady Star of the Sea, and our topic is on discernment. Father, that point that you just gave us there is now a good place for me to move away from the subject of a religious call, although in this year of the priest, gosh, do we ever want to encourage young men to and women to see if God is calling them to a religious life. But in the laity, in my preaching, I, you know, say that I think God is continually calling us. We have to be open and listening and trying to discern what it is that God wants of us, that our work is never done, no matter what our age, no matter what we've accomplished. For the laity, I don't know if anybody would come to you and wonder if God is calling them to serve the poor or to serve the parish in some way. How do you speak to people, or how would you speak about the issue of discernment for the laity?
Yeah, that's a good question. And frankly, there's not a short answer. Well, I can give a short, simple answer, but, you know, in the end, it requires a real serious prayer life, conversation with God, in which one takes the time to listen to God. A lot of times when we pray, we think about, I need to pray, we think about, you know, saying things, saying the rosary, which is obviously a great prayer, saying, you know, going to Mass, saying our prayers, reading our prayer cards, interceding for things. But we have to make sure that we are taking time to actually listen to God and taking time to allow him to speak to us rather than just sort of putting in the time or checking off the things like, okay, I got that done, you know, that we really are taking time to hear what he says. And I think the most fruitful and simple and easiest way to do that is through meditation on the scriptures, in which one does sort of a lectio divina process, you know, meditates, uses their imagination, allows this time and this place in which God can then speak to them. And they can hear him through both their feelings and emotions and through their intellect as well, to where they can become pretty sure of what God is trying to direct them to and what he wants them to do. Even if there is not always a great sense of peace, even if there is some struggles, even if there's some real difficulties in life and everything else that's going on, at the center, I think we can always keep hearing God's voice and receiving him just by that real kind of faithful meditation and trying to listen to him. The rule, I mean, I think you can almost give a rule. It's not true for everybody in every situation, but it's true for many people in most situations, which is God loves you and wants to give you peace, consolation, hope, joy, greater sense of faith, of love, calmness. You know, he wants to do those things for you. And as we receive those gifts, we can find some clarity as to what it is he's asking us to do. The devil, on the other hand, hates us, wants us to be anxious, nervous, upset, self-recriminating, guilty, shameful, all those things. And whatever feelings that come that are leading us in that direction, we can be pretty sure that's not what God wants to say. And so we resist those things and keep trying to focus on the good things that God wants to do for us.
That is a beautiful invitation to the discernment process. Father, I would guess that you found, as I have, that there are some people who, due to some life situation or event, think they're immediately called to save addicts or something, and they bound off into a new area without taking the time for this peace, prayer, quiet, reflection, lectio divina that you mentioned. And their roots are not very deep. And sometimes people don't last very long at their plans.
No, and they find a real, what I think St. Ignatius would call a real spiritual diminishment, that they are, that faith and that hope and that peace and love that they had, even though they're doing something that would seem very good, it's not what God wanted them to do, and so they can't help but start to struggle and to waver and to lose all the good things that God wanted them to do, wants to do for them. And so you have to be very, very careful to say, okay, that's a great idea, but is it for me, or is it actually even a suggestion from the devil, because he knows in the long run this is going to cause problems.
Right.
So people have to say, okay, that's a great idea. Now I need to pray about it, and I need to see, is God giving me a sense of peace, greater sense of faith, hope, and love, to start to understand this has come to us. You know, and actually St. Ignatius gives a rule for that that's very helpful, where he says that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. When God gives these things, they come as like a drop of water being absorbed into a sponge. There's a real sense of peace and calmness about it, whereas when the devil suggest something, even if it's something good, it comes as kind of a harshness and a clanging. And so we have to be kind of, we can be very careful and listen. Now, was that something that came to me in a great sense of peace? Or was that something that kind of shocked me and knocked me off my feet? And maybe that's not what God was looking for. But, you know, I have to add to this that it's really hard for us to understand this stuff ourselves. We need to find good spiritual companions who can help us to read these things and to understand the discernment better. You know, anybody who's discerning on their own, you know, you're really putting yourself out there in a dangerous position.
Mm. Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins has been Father Derek Lappe. I have a couple things I'd like to close with. Father, first, are you involved in any new media efforts or anything that you are able to put yourself out there, or are you pretty much wrapped up in the parish?
Well, we try to do a little both. We definitely have our parish website, which we're always working on trying to improve and make better. We did a big Corpus Christi procession this year, which we put up on YouTube with a video of the procession and things. So we try to do some things. Our diocese is getting ready to start the Catholics Come Home program, which will be a great effort for the diocese as a whole, trying to use the media to do it. But I myself can't imagine a blog or anything like that. I would have a hard time keeping something like that going. So,
sure.
In the parish website, we try to keep that updated and with good resources for people along the way.
Father's Parish is once again Our Lady Star of the Sea in Bremerton, Washington. We've been talking on the subject of discernment with Father Derek Lappe. Father, I wonder if we could close. May we please have your blessing today.
I'll get my just one last point. Whenever we're talking discernment, we have to realize our greatest expert in this is St. Ignatius of Loyola, and for people to look at his rules for the discernment of spirits and to try to apply those into their lives would be just one of the greatest things we could do in the church. And so I just would highly recommend taking a look at St. Ignatius.
Well, then let me add, do you have a particular book or something that you could
mention?
Yeah,
all the books that are especially helpful are by Timothy Gallagher, whose religious order is OMV. Timothy Gallagher, Father Gallagher is a great, great resource for understanding better the rules for the discernment, and they're very simple and understandable for people.
So I'll do a little research before I post this program, and we'll put links in to what we can find for discernment by Father Timothy Gallagher. Once again, Father, may we ask you, please, for your blessing as we close.
Yep. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon all those who have listened and joined us today, that you would watch over them, that you would guide their life, and that you would speak to them clearly, that they would know your presence in their life by that sense of peace and happiness and joy that you want to give to all of your followers. We ask your blessing, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Father Derek Lappe, we thank you for visiting with us on Catholic Vitamins, and we hope we can stay in touch.
You bet. Thank you very much.
Well, we're back, and Dee, we're sitting outside on a lovely evening. We're on our back patio.
I wonder where the first podcasters to podcast from their patio.
I don't know. Just a second ago, we had a plane taking off, but I think it's far enough away. It's a beautiful evening. We're looking out over a nature preserve behind our home.
We still have hummingbirds coming to our hummingbird feeder. See one over there right now?
I do. But, dear folks, I've tried a couple different bird feeders, not the hummingbird things, but regular birds, and they're not coming to partake of our feast. I don't know what's going on.
They're all going to our neighbor's house. I need to find out what she's doing over there.
Well, maybe we can discern better food to give the birds. I ran across something from Alan Schreck in a book entitled Your Life in the Holy Spirit, What Every Catholic Needs to Know and Experience, from the Word Among Us Press. Discernment is the testing whether something, a direction, a spirit, or a word, is truly from God and of God. It's also a judgment or a testing through prayer of what God is saying as Christians seek to know and do His will. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who reveals the source of things and who desires to guide God's people in the way of truth. So that really goes along with what Father Derek was saying, and I enjoyed his words and his sharing about discernment. You listened to it.
I did listen to it, and I just always like hearing priests tell their story of their path and how they got to where it took them to become a priest.
Yeah, very good. Well, I want to remind you that one of the authors that was mentioned by Father Derek Lappe is Father Timothy Gallagher. And he has a website, which I'll post in our blog page. The website is fr, for Father, Timothy Gallagher, .org, frtimothygallagher.org. And there are books and CDs and things you can order there
And we were told by the assistant to Father Gallagher that if you enter a discount code of Deacon Fox at the time of checkout, that they will give us a 10% discount for Catholic Vitamins listeners who order from Father Gallagher's books on discernment.
So make sure if you order that way through that site, put in Deacon Fox in the code box.
There you go. Well, let's see. Time for maybe a little bit of humor. What do you think?
I'm going to make my little bite of humor up a little bit earlier today. We have met a friend, an online friend, and she had sent us a story about her young son, who is now almost 4 years old. But at the time of this story, he was only 2.5 years old. And she said that during World Youth Day in Australia, they had the TV on EWTN all day. And since they had live coverage, Julian, the 2.5-year-old, kept asking Mommy who that was. And Mommy would say, "That is Pope Benedict." And he would say, "Ooh, Pope Benedict." Seems it made a big impression on him. Now, whenever they go to Mass and he sees a priest or a deacon, he says very loudly to them, "Hi, Pope Benedict. Look, Mommy, that's Pope Benedict." I thought that was so cute.
Yeah, so a big shout out to Arlene and David.
David and Julian.
Thank you so much for being our friends and for being listeners to Catholic Vitamins. Speaking of shout outs, we've got some feedback. Some people have shouted at us, and we've got a little shout out we want to do. What do you got there? Oh, yes, yes. I want to do a shout out to Teresa in Ocala, Florida, who gave us some comments. Vicky in San Jose, and Mark from Philadelphia. Gosh, there's been Armand and Sister Rose and Michael who've come on Facebook. We really want to thank you for checking in with us.
And I've also gotten a few friends on my side of the page.
Well, of course you would. You're lovely and friendly.
Okay. Candace back in Estes Park, Colorado, where we moved from. Doreen down in Florida. And somebody named Michael. And then I have Belinda and Tara and Tammy, who are all relatives of mine that are back in Pennsylvania and Georgia.
Wow. Okay, so did we get any comments from anybody?
We did. At first, we got to say, remember last time we said we didn't have any winner for the C conversion? Well, at the last minute, I guess you must have made a comment right before we did that podcast.
I did. I think I put it out on the net.
And at the last minute, we got all these guesses coming in. But unfortunately, none of them were the correct one either. But they were fun to read.
Okay, let's just back up before you give them. Yeah. Vitamin C, the answer was?
Conversion.
Okay, now here's the answers.
Inga sent in coronation, consideration. Melissa sent in canonization. Nancy guessed communion. Canon, and Sean, the duct tape guy, was being his usual silly self. Conflagration. I can't even say it. Contraption. And then last but not least, Shelley says, "Wait, I haven't finished listening to B yet."
All right. Well, sorry, nobody won then, and nobody won D. We didn't have any winners for today.
That's right, we didn't.
Oh, my heavens. I'll tell you what, we're going to ramp this up, Dee. We're going to ramp this up because in Vitamin Scrabble, in just a minute, we have a word, which is a long word. It's an E word. I hope you've got the number of letters counted.
I don't, but I will. I forgot about that.
We've got to do better on our show notes.
Okay, let's continue with some of our feedback we got. Teresa in Florida, who you mentioned, finally able to connect the Catholic Vitamins. Listen to 1 and 2. Good stuff. Thanks. Blessings. Vicky in California said, "You and Dee are doing a great job on the podcasting. I took some notes and will comment more tomorrow." Did she come back and comment? I don't know.
I don't think she did.
And Paul wrote in, Deacon Tom, I just uploaded vitamin C. I will be listening to it at work tomorrow.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for being with us. And I did the count while you were doing those.
Oh, good.
So the, she's counting on her fingers, folks.
Should we go ahead and do that now?
Yeah, let's do that now.
All right. Vitamin Scrabble for the next episode will be vitamin E. And it will be the first letter, of course, E, and the last letter is T, and it is 10 letters altogether.
10 letters. Now listen, this is an important one. It's an important show, and I really hope you're going to be able to join us. If anybody guesses this Catholic vitamin, we're going to do the two CDs that we promised last time, and we're going to do two Catholic vitamin sweets, not one, but two Catholic vitamin sweets. And you'll understand next week when you find out what the answer to vitamin E, Catholic vitamin E, is. What else do we have, dear?
I wanted to put in a plug. I have been doing online a 3-minute retreat each day. I mean, who can't sit down for 3 minutes every day and do a retreat like that? It comes through Loyola Press. You can go on their site, loyolapress.com, and sign up for the link for the 3-minute retreat, and you will get this notice in your email every day. All you have to do is click on it, and it goes into the retreat. It's just sit back, sit there in your chair in front of the computer, just take a few deep breaths. And then real pretty music, soft music starts playing and takes you through your 3-minute retreat. I mean, it's just really a nice thing to do for yourself every day.
Speaking of nice things to do, why don't we sort of start to wrap up because we're running long and we need to have you do Vitamin It. It's over there to the right.
All right, today's Vitamin It. Welcome your role in the drama of creation. Imagine the part you play as a leading role, which it is, but once in a while, keep still and let God speak the parts. And that kind of goes along with discernment.
Sure does.
And with the 3-minute retreat I just mentioned.
Sure does. Thank you for that. That's beautiful. Folks, we have not had any voice feedback in maybe 2 weeks. Huh?
That's right. We don't want to lose our number.
Yeah, 206-350-3789. 206-350-3789. Go ahead.
And then you can also access our email addresses by going on the website at www.catholicvitamins.com.
So we'll put in links to everything on the blog page for Catholic Vitamins. We had a little bit more mail to share, but we'll just save that. We thank you for being a blessing in our lives. Remember prayer before anything that's an important step. I don't know, maybe even before going to the grocery store or deciding what you're going to fix for dinner tonight. Discern that way. Start with prayer. Thanks for listening, Dee.
From the patio in Arizona.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.